when Kaylee and I were young, which is actually a nice way of saying inexperienced, we were newly married and we were driving back from Orland Park, Illinois, down to Bourbonnais. Unfortunately, on our way back, a snowstorm came out of nowhere, and it was a terrible storm that really was shutting down the highway and roads were covered. I mean, it happened really quickly. We were trying to beat the storm before we got home, and the highway got so bad that I had the bright idea of actually pulling off the highway and trying the secondary roads. Well, that wasn't the smartest idea. We started to drive down the secondary roads, which led out to the country roads. And all of a sudden, as the wind was blowing and it was drifting across the road, we decided this was a bad idea. So as I began to turn around, I lost the edge of the road. I mean, it was completely covered. And we ended up going into the ditch. So we're driving our Ford Explorer in the ditch, can't get out. And we were really stuck. We didn't know what we were going to do. Well, I was going to walk back to the highway to kind of wave down help of some sort. And when we had no way of getting out, and all of a sudden we could see these lights of a car that was coming towards us. And it was kind of faint because the wind was blowing and it was howling. It was a whiteout. I mean, it was really, really bad situation. And as the lights got closer and closer, they got bigger and bigger, and we realized that it was a truck. And we were kind of blown away and so thankful that at least they were going to be able to go and find us help. Well, they pulled over, and this young man gets out. And he says, "Hey, I'll give you a hand," and he grabs a tow strap, and he pulls it out of his truck, and he puts it onto the bumper of his truck, and he gets underneath our Explorer, and he, you know, puts it all together to pull us out of the ditch. Well, he even invites us to sit in the cab of his truck and warm up. I mean, this blew us away. We couldn't even believe that this was happening. Well, minutes later, he pulls us out of the ditch. He gets us turned around, going back the direction towards the highway, which was going to be the much safer route. And we were so just ecstatic that he came along when he did. He wouldn't even allow us to pay him. Now, what was really amazing was Kaylee said to him, "You are our angel." And to which the young man replies, "Well, that's actually my name." I know. You probably are saying that's really hard to believe. Well, it should be, because it really wasn't his name. I think his coveralls said Carl or something like that. But everything else about the story is incredibly true. He came at the moment of our greatest mistake, invited us to keep warm while he did the work of pulling us out. Now, I want you to think about the power of this story. We messed up. I messed up. I made a decision to get off the road, the main highway, and go down this country road, and it was a poor decision. In fact, I put ourselves into a bad situation, and we didn't know how we were going to get out of it. Then all of a sudden, a young man with a tow strap pulls up. He invites us to warm up in his truck, and he pulls us out. He doesn't let us pay him, and then he cared for us when we didn't have the ability to even care for ourselves in that moment. He gave us, I want you to hear this, he gave us the opportunity to look past our reality and to see the possibility. That's going to be a theme for us today as we continue in our series, The Unlikely Disciple, looking at the story of Peter. Today, my hope is that you're going to see a parallel between the story that Kaylee and I found ourselves in and Peter's story. Well, it's a good spot for us to stop, and we're going to move to the started out section. Started out section is simply just a section for us to begin conversation with your group. We hope that you're watching this content with a group of people. If not, that's okay. We encourage you to go to our website, trinitynazarene.org. And if you'll see a tab at the top that says Trinity Anywhere, click on that tab and there'll be a video image right at the beginning, plus underneath that, a file that you can download, which is today's talk sheet. So I encourage you to download the talk sheet, walk through it. It'll take you deeper into the content of the message. And again, if you're watching this as a group, it'll help you to be able to dialogue together as a group. As usual, just wait 5 seconds and the video will automatically begin if you want to just continue. Or again, if you're watching this as a group, you can press pause. And then when you're done discussing as a group, you can simply press play and it'll automatically go to the next section. So today, as we engage in God's word, I want to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Now, as you're turning to Mark 16, I want to jump into something that is rarely mentioned in the scripture, but it's an important piece for us to remember today. So here's the deal. We're going to be looking at the story of Jesus' resurrection. We're going to be specifically looking at it from the perspective of the women who went to the tomb, and especially Peter. But here's the interesting thing that I want to point out. No one, not one of Jesus's followers expected Jesus to be raised from the dead. They didn't expect it. Now think about that. They were with him. They saw him. They learned from him. He said multiple times what he was going to do. He even raised other people from the dead, Lazarus. They saw this with their own eyes, yet they didn't expect him to do it and to do what he said he was going to do. In fact, Mark tells us that there were three women that went to the tomb early in the morning. They went at the earliest time that was permitted by religious law, but they went there with spices. And the reason that they went there with spices and anointing oil was because they were going to anoint a dead body. They truly did not believe that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. Well, it's amazing to think that even after the stone was rolled away, many people believed that Jesus's body just must have been taken. Somebody must have removed it. They themselves had this belief. But yet, the three women show up and they're met by an angel. Now, we're going to look here at Mark 16. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.'" Now, I want to share with you that the highlight of today's message are these two tiny words, "and Peter." And Peter. He told him, go back and tell the disciples, but he separated Peter out. Now, the reason was not because Peter wasn't with the disciples. It was because Jesus wasn't done. These two words, "and Peter," speak volumes about Jesus's love, about his grace, about his forgiveness, and his desire for restoration, because you have to remember where we left Peter's story before this moment. He just denied Jesus, not just once or twice, but three times, and he did it to Jesus's face. Jesus saw Peter. And the amazing thing is, again, he wasn't singled out because he wasn't with them, but instead, it was because Jesus wasn't done with Peter. It wasn't the end of Peter's story. Aren't you thankful for that? You see, God's heart and Jesus's desire is for us to experience restoration and to be restored by his love. You see, people get worked up about the Gospels sharing different accounts of the resurrection. This was Mark's account that we just read of what happened and how the women came and there was an angel there. But the Gospel accounts actually tell different perspectives. Now, some would say that this shows a lack of credibility. But instead, I think it shows incredible credibility and not discontinuity. It really shows that there were multiple sources over a long period of time that actually wrote from the perspective that they had regarding Jesus' resurrection. It wasn't that a group of gospel writers, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all got together and said, hey, let's all collaborate and work together and write one narrative. Instead, they served as reporters writing for their newspaper and taking in the perspective and how that adds so much value to the story. You see, in fact, John tells us in his gospel that Mary ran to Peter and John and told them what happened. Luke actually tells us that the women's story and their recounting of what happened with the angel and going to the tomb was almost like nonsense. But it wasn't nonsense to Peter and John. In fact, in Luke's gospel, it says that they ran to the tomb. John actually adds another element of value. He says that John beat Peter to the tomb because John was younger. John actually reports that he stopped at the edge of the tomb and he peered in, where he writes that Peter just came busting in. You know, John was acting like a good Jewish boy who knew that he didn't want to be defiled or be considered unclean if he was to walk into the tomb with a dead body, where Peter said, if this is true, I want to know and I want to see for myself. In fact, what's really interesting is that all the gospel writers agree and they all share the information regarding the interior of the tomb. What happened when they got in there? They all share in continuity that the grave clothes were folded up. Now, this is important. Luke actually gives us an indication to what Peter was thinking as he took in all that was happening. After seeing all of what was happening inside the tomb and seeing the grave clothes folded up, Luke tells us in 24:12 that he went home, speaking of Peter, and wondering what had happened. Can you imagine that moment? Peter go walking out of there, just thinking to himself, what just happened? Now, even in his absence, I want you to know that Jesus, through the grave clothes, was teaching Peter a continual lesson. You see, there was a lesson that Jesus kept teaching Peter, even from the first moment that he met him to the last moment that we'll discover in the next couple of weeks. Jesus was teaching him this important lesson. It was the same lesson that Jesus was teaching Peter when he tells him to cast his net on the other side of the boat or to go out further and fish, even during the day. When Peter was caught in the storm, Jesus was teaching him a lesson. And again, Peter, when he walked on water and then eventually sank, Jesus was there teaching Peter as he went. And then it was the same lesson that Jesus pointed Peter to when they stood upon the rock at Caesarea Philippi and said, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And again, it was Peter who needed to hear it over and over again because he didn't quite pick up on the lesson that Jesus was constantly trying to teach him. The lesson is this. The call of Jesus was for Peter to look beyond the reality and to see the possibility. This was the reality. This was the lesson that Jesus truly wanted Peter to learn. Look past your reality and see the possibility. Look past the reality that it's dumb to catch fish in the middle of the day, especially if you're doing it with a dragnet. Yet Jesus says, look at the possibility. He told him to look at the possibility, even standing on top of what they considered the gates of hell, and Jesus saying, I'm going to build my church on this. All they saw were the gates of hell, but Jesus saw the possibility. It's amazing when we consider that when Peter is walking on water towards Jesus, Peter eventually saw and got caught up in the reality of the storm. When Jesus saw the opportunity and possibility that Peter could walk on water. This is an amazing thing. Even think about this. What Peter smelled coming out of the tomb of Lazarus was reality. That a dead man was now walking out of the tomb. The gravity that pulled him down below the surface of the water was real. And that was his reality in that moment. The tomb being empty was his reality. And Peter we'll soon learn the valuable lesson taught by the angel in Luke, for nothing is impossible with God. This is the lesson that Peter will continually learn, and he'll see with his own eyes, and he'll do with his own hands, and he'll walk with his own feet, this truth that nothing is impossible with God. So let me ask you this question. What reality is keeping you from Jesus' possibility? Think about that for a second. What reality is keeping you from Jesus' possibility? Now, I don't certainly want to stand here and deny the reality that we face in our lives. Bills have to be paid. Rent has to be made, and mortgages and taxes. Cancer is still the diagnosis. That's reality. You still have to eat. You have to work. You have to provide for your family and even survive. That is reality. But like Peter, don't let your reality supersede God's possibility. Here's a point I want you to remember. No matter how many times Peter needed to be taught, Jesus was willing to teach him. No matter how bad Peter messed up, Jesus was there to teach him. No matter how many times Peter had to ask Jesus to tell him over and over again to teach this lesson, Jesus was there, filled with grace, to teach Peter in that moment. Well, this is a good spot for us again to take a pause, to move to the talk it out section of our talk sheet. I want you to engage in a conversation today to talk about what does it look like to allow Jesus to teach us. And so again, if you're watching this content with a group, just press pause. And when you're ready, you can come back, press play, and the video will automatically go to the next section. If you want to continue to enjoy the content without pausing, just continue to allow the video to play. And again, after 5 seconds, it'll immediately go to the next section. When we study this passage of Scripture, we learn that Jesus was essentially inviting Peter and the other disciples to rejoin him, even though they abandoned him. That was the whole point. The whole point was for Jesus to say, hey, listen, you all ran from me. You all abandoned me. None of you believed that I was even going to be resurrected, but I'm going to still encourage and desire and invite you into relationship with me. That is such good news for us today. In fact, let's look at verse 7 again, as we did earlier. It says, but go, tell his disciples, and here's a big piece, and Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. Now, I want to keep this up just for a few seconds here. As I begin to bring you these points, I want you to keep being reminded of these words, because these words help us to see how Jesus invites us continually into relationship with him. In fact, the first primary thing, the example I want you to see is that the invitation of Jesus is always fulfilled. The invitation of Jesus is always fulfilled. He doesn't invite you if he doesn't want you. The good news is he wants all of us. So he invites all of us into relationship with him. The reason we don't have relationship with Christ is not because of Christ's desire to have relationship with us. It's because our desire to not have relationship with him. Now, the promise that we see in verse 7 is that he said that he would die and that he would be resurrected. He said that he was going to go to Galilee. And when they get to Galilee, he shows up because he fulfills his promises. He fulfills the invitation that he extends to you. Here's the second thing I want you to realize. The invitation of Jesus is filled with grace. Here we see another example of God's grace being bestowed upon his people, even when they don't deserve it. What we experienced on the road when the snow is piling up and the wind is howling was grace. A young man came and he extended grace to us and he pulled us out of the ditch. Well, it's the same thing with our lives in relationship with Christ. And although the disciples completely failed, did I mention that they failed, that they ran, they abandoned him? Even though that happened, Jesus still extended unfailing love and unconditional love to these failing disciples. And why? Because he loved them. Why does he extend unfailing love and unconditional grace or unconditional love to you? It's because he loves you. He wants to be in a relationship, even when you don't deserve it, even when you turn your back on him, even when you run. He wants to be in a relationship with you, and he invites you to meet with him, just as he did the disciples who abandoned him. He wants them to come and meet with him. Here's the third thing I want you to walk away with today. Jesus invites us to be with him. He wants us to be with him. In fact, verse 7 tells us, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. So the angel is telling the women, let them know to go to Galilee. He's going to be there. He's going to fulfill his promise. You're going to see him. How amazing is that? To know that they didn't deserve it, yet they still received it. Man. So John, the Revelator, in the book of Revelations, actually tells us that God's heart is to invite us to be with him even at the end of the age. In fact, Revelation 22:17 reads, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. This is such an encouragement for us to realize that we are being called by Christ to come. He wants to gather us in. He wants relationship with you. I want you to learn from Peter, and I want you to apply these principles. When we talk about this last section of the message, it's all about application. How can you apply what you just learned to your daily life? Well, obviously, we are learning that, man, even when we don't deserve it, God wants to give it. Even when we don't have it, he wants us to get it. And even when we don't get it and we miss the message, he still desires to teach us, just like he did with Peter, over and over again. But I want you to apply these principles to your life. Here's the first one. Jesus invited you to experience his promises. Allow him to invite you to experience his promises. Here's the other thing. Jesus invites you to experience his grace. He extends that grace to you. It's free. It's just like John in Revelation who says, you know, drink freely from the water. Isaiah 55 talks about it's free. Come and drink the wine and the milk. And it's all free. It's yours. It's living water. It wants to fill you. So Jesus invites you to experience his grace. And Jesus wants to be with you no matter how bad you messed up. That's good news for us today. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you recognizing the power of the message. The power is not just in how Peter responded, but it was how you responded to Peter all throughout the story. Lord, I'm so thankful that you called Peter out. You said, Lord, tell the disciples and Peter, because it wasn't the end of his story. Lord, I pray that whoever is watching the content for today, whoever's listening or hearing these words, that they too would recognize that you're not just sharing the good news with everybody, but specifically to who is watching today. We can substitute Peter for our name. In my case, it would be and Steve. Lord, I'm thankful for the grace you extend to us. I'm thankful for the invitation that you provide. I'm thankful that you desire to meet with us even after we've messed up. Even after we haven't met the mark, even when we've made poor decisions, and we could have very easily paid for those poor decisions, yet your grace is sufficient, and you come and you rescue us right in the midst of our terrible mistakes. I'm so thankful for your unconditional love. I'm so thankful for your grace, and I'm so thankful that Peter could have been just left to wallow in his denial. Yet you restore him. And so we are so thankful for your restorative grace today. We give you honor and praise and thanks for this in your name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today. And one of the things that's a privilege of mine to do each time that we get together or each time we enjoy content together or we open God's word is to pronounce a blessing, a benediction over your week. So I encourage you, if this is maybe your first time that you are engaging in the content, you're seeing this, I want to encourage you to read these words, read them in your heart first. Or one of the practices that we do is just to say them out loud. We also extend our hands to receive this blessing and this benediction over your week. So if you're joining with us and you've been with us for a while, I encourage you to say this out loud together. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. These are the most powerful words we say each week. You are sent.